Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Please be welcome to the earnings call of Copasa about the results of the third quarter of 2020. We have here today Mr. Carlos Augusto Botelho Berta, the Director of Copasa and Investor Relations, and Cristiane, Director of Market Relations. This will be recorded, and everybody will hear the teleconference during the presentation of the company, and thereafter, we will start with a Q&A, and you will get further instructions. Should you need any help, please call the operator by typing asterisk one. This event is being transmitted simultaneously via webcast and can be accessed at the RI website of Copasa, ri.copasa.com.br, and the presentation is available for download. Before we proceed, we would like to highlight that anything that might be said during the earnings call regarding the business perspectives, projections, and operational goals of Copasa are premises and expectations of the board of directors, based on information that is currently available. They involve risks and uncertainty. They refer to future events and are regarding things that might or might not take place. Changes in legislation and economic issues and other operational factors might affect the future earnings of Copasa and might lead to results that are different from what was expected. Now, I would like to give the word to the Financial Director, and he will start the presentation. Please, Dr. Carlos Berta, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Marcelo. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you all that are here at the earnings presentation of the third quarter. We have our directors. I will start.
Let's start on slide two, financial highlights of the third quarter. We're still going to talk throughout the next slides in more detail, the explanations for the main lines of services. We project the financial highlights once again of 2020. Our net revenue has grown 6.1% in regards to the third quarter of 2019, getting to almost 1.3 billion reais in the period. Costs and expenses, 923 million reais, facing the 864 million in the same period of 2019, an increase of 6.9% for the same period. As it will be explained, we have the provision for losses because of the reduction of values in comparison to the third quarter of 2019. We will explain that. In regards to the other revenues, in the third quarter of 2019, the value is negative in 29 million. In the third quarter of 2020, we had a positive result of 17 million reais due to the reversal of 30 million reais in provisions regarding to ABL, and we will talk about this later. EBITDA grew 14.7% in the period in comparison to the period of 2019, getting to 526 million reais. The margin of the EBITDA in the third quarter was 39%, almost 2 percentage points higher than the margin observed for the comparison in 2019. Financial results remained in the third quarter stable. We went over 39 million in the third quarter of 2019, in comparison to 38 million in the third quarter 2020. Net income, an increase of 24.4% in regards to the same period of last year. Slide three. Let's see the water and sewage revenue. Third quarter of 2020, an increase of 6.4% in comparison to the same period of last year. We can highlight the main factors that affected the revenue. The tariff adjustment of 8.3% 8% from August 2019. There was an increase of 2.6% in the measured volume for water and 2.2% in the measured volume for sewage. This is consolidated, and we can see the economies of 2%. We also contributed to increase the revenue. The client of the social category, we registered, and we had an increase of 6 million reais and an increase in the tariffs in 8 cities from EDC to EDT. So we migrated from sewage collection to sewage collection and treatment, increase in the monthly revenue 2.3%. And there is a reduction of 2.7 million reais in the indirect revenue from water and sewage due to the measures taken by the company to minimize the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Slide 4. Let's talk about the manageable costs. They grew, as you can see, to 351 million reais in personnel, for example. Now we will detail the variations. That was from 602 to 570 to 625 million reais, an increase of 9.5%. Well, we had the provisions for 2020. This was compensated by the reduction in the expenses with the transport tariff, and because we had a COVID pandemic, and there is the expenses with the healthcare, there was an increase in the healthcare and dental services. We had the reduction of 109 employees in comparison to the third quarter of 19. We have the value of an increase of 24.6% in comparison to the same period last year. This reflected the behavior that was observed in the net revenue in the comparison period. In the services by third parties, increase of 2.1%. The outsourced services, the more significant, are an increase of 9.4 million reais with the conservation services and maintenance of system that are stemming from interventions that were registered in January and February. On the other hand, the reduction of 5.7 million reais in the increase in the expenses with the transportation of potable water. Now, let's talk a little bit about the losses of the accounts receivable. Third quarter 2020, increase of 46 million reais, of which 17 million can be attributed to the improvement of the methodology, and 24 million regarding to the aging of the accounts receivable, with more invoices being written off. This is due to the economic instability, well, and there is the aggravated issue of the pandemic. We have the commercial clients, as well as the suspension of the removal of these payment of these clients that are not paying. We have an increase in the tariffs to the municipalities, an increase of 29% in regards to 19. This is due to the increase of the tariff transfer for the municipalities that we're talking to the regulatory body about the readjustment of the tariffs that happened in August 19. Slide 5. We can see the non-manageable costs and others that decreased 5.4% in regards to the third quarter of 19. We got to the value of 129 million reais. Let's detail the non-manageable costs and others. Electricity. There is a drop in 12.8% in the expenses with electricity due to the operation in the accounting of the credits regarding to PIS and COFINS taxes that were accounted for each expense, for each invoice, and they are considered as materials for the productive process. Therefore, there is a reduction in 45% in the accounts of the credits, tax credits. On slide 6, we have the other expenses and equity income. In regards to the other operational revenues, there is an increase of 40 million reais, mainly due to the approved contingency for remote contingency of judicial processes regarding the state law and we have the public services. We have to protect the environment through investment due to the total operational revenue based on the municipalities where they operate. This comes from judicial decisions that are favorable to the company, and therefore, that's why we reduce the provisions for this that were accounted for this finality, for this end. We had a drop in the operational expenses of 10% in regards to the previous quarter, just because in the third quarter of 2019, we did the extraordinary non-recurring provision in the value of $16 million due to the judicial bargaining agreement. Let's go to slide seven. Let's see the data of the CapEx, finished projects. We invested, well, Copanor invested at the end of last year. Well, we had strong rains and we had restrictions imposed by the pandemic. Copanor invested $15 million, Copasa invested $328 million. We generated the discounts in the procurement of the works. With the impact of the pandemic, a lot of the works had delays. And they will start in 2021. Slide eight. We see the evolution of the indebtedness of the company, the gross debt, net debt, and leverage. Gross debt. That was $3.41 million in September of 2019. Had a decrease in 1.8%, 1.8 million, getting to 3.35 million. We have 1.7 billion reais. The net debt is 2.27 billion reais. The index of leverage regarding, well, if when you measure the net debt over the EBITDA, got to 1.2. Before it was 1.8. In 2019. Slide 9. We have the debt by index and average coupon. We have a decrease from 6.6% to 5.5%, the average coupon. An increase, well, there's a decrease in the interest rates in the Brazilian market. The indexers of the debt. The TGLP had a reduction in their representativeness, the total, going over 19% of the total debt to 17% in the same period in 2020. The contracts connected to IPCA, we had a reduction in the third quarter of 2019. The debt in foreign currency, there was a devaluation in the real in 2020, and that's 12% of the total debt. That's why, well, the level of indebtedness measured by the net debt and shareholders' equity, we went from 44.2% to the third quarter 2019 to 31.7% in the third quarter 2020, due to the reduction of the net debt. Slide 10. We are talking about the shareholders' compensation. We have the distribution of dividends that is 25% of the net revenue, and it will be in the form of JCP. We declared the JCP, and out of this amount, only in the third quarter of 2020, is corresponding to 63 million reais that still hasn't been paid of the gross amount, and it will be done in November. The studies on the impact of the company. And we recommended for the deliberation of AGE in 19 November. And we will have the payment still in this FY. Now, once we finalize the financial results, let's talk about the concessions that are regarding September of 2020. Copasa Copanor, together they have 640 concessions of water, out of which 629 are operational, the sewage is 310 concessions. Out of those, 265 are being operated. The closing of the quarter, the company had 11 million inhabitants being serviced with water and sewage. Now we have an 8.3 million inhabitants with sewage. We can see on the right, we correspond to 51.2% of the revenues, the expiration of the 10 largest concessions. We can see here, 20 were renewed from water and sewage. We renewed Santa Lucia and San Gonzalo of Abate and the concession of water. And we also had PSC and Haidan. By September 2020, we had 67 expired concessions, which is 3% of the revenue. Next slide. Let's talk about the regulatory environment. We have the tariff adjustment. Well, the average tariff effect is 3.04%, and we are going to, and we saw the application of this on November 1st, 90 days after the date that was predicted, which was in August. The second tariff review of COPASA starting in May of this year with the public hearing and the technical meetings, seeing the general aspects of the revision. Second phase, starting in October, we have the public hearing and the technical meeting, operational cost, capital cost, regulatory asset base, tariff incentives, tariff structure, and among others. And we will see and we are paying attention to special points. We're working to the contributions that are working with COPASA in the public hearing on the application, among others. And we have the third phase where we will start on April 2021. We will have the application of the methodology, annual tariffs, adjustment of the methodology. Now, let's go to the last slide. As usual, slide 13, we see the hydrological situation of Belo Horizonte. We have Paraopeba, Rio Manso, Vargas das Flores, and Rio Azul, which are responsible for 47% of the service of the metropolitan region. They have 79% of the volume in Rio das Vegas, which is responsible for 42% of the service for the region. The information is on the right. The average flow in the 15 days is 16.6 cubic meters per second by October 26th. The water collection grant in the system, average flow collected over the last 12 months is 6.8 cubic meters per second. Well, with that, we close our presentation of the third quarter. And I give the word to the operator. And we can start with a Q&A. Very well. Dear guests, we will start with the Q&A. If you want to ask your question, please type *9 on your telephone. The first question is from Marcelo Sá, Banco Itaú. Well, thank you for the opportunity. Just a few questions. Well, starting about the tariff review and the documentation, well, there's a lot of documentation that was published. And actually, I just wanted to discuss two points that really brought my attention. One is I understand that the proposal of the regulator is to do an analysis giving the average, but then we have to work with the methodology of SABESP, and then you will attribute a CAPEX and the relevant tax that COPASA published, and not, well, you publish based on information of COPASA, but it's not the effective CAPEX that is projected for the next year. We are considering 200 million. Therefore, the average base makes you have a very relevant impact in the active base that will be considered for review. I wanted to understand what you think about this. The other point the operational costs. I don't know if I understand correctly, but I understand that based on the benchmark, a regulator understands that Copasa is not the more efficient company as the seventh, eighth, and there is a difference in 5% in regards to the most efficient. Now, today, when you look at the regulatory cost based on and the regulatory cost based on this methodology, I understand that the cost of exit would be the current cost of Copasa so that the company will move along. So at D0, at the moment of review, the EBITDA of the company should increase. And I don't know if this is correct. I wanted just to confirm with you.
Good morning. I am Cristiane, the Director of the Market Relations, and I'm the director responsible for this project, and I will answer this question. First of all, I would like to make it clear that the technical notes published by the regulatory agents are preliminary. The company, still with the regulator, with the support of the regulator, is preparing the evaluation so they can submit the changes in the technical notes. Now, the publishing of the technical note based, well, effectively caused a rumble in the market because the methodology used by the regulatory agency in Minas Gerais is different from the methodology applied, for example, by Sabesp in the state of São Paulo, as you just mentioned. And the calculation of the base of the regulatory articles, the methodology that was published only references the expenses with the maintenance of the base and didn't consider the future CapEx, the future investments. The methodology adopted by, well, this is a hybrid methodology, different from the methodology applied by the other regulatory agencies in the country. As I mentioned, the company is preparing its publication to pledge once again the new numbers with the regulatory agency. Operational costs, we have the same warning. We have the technical notes, preliminary, but the visualization of the technical note isolated leads to the understanding that the operational cost adopted by the regulatory agency is solely based on the market. The regulatory agency didn't do the analysis of the benchmark of the reference market to see the efficiency and the cost of the operator. And this is the point where the concessionary will publish the data when it's opportune. Yes. Well, but just to understand one thing about the methodology that they're proposing. There's still math that needs to be done. According to your methodology, you have the cost of the company, and then you have a component, so a next factor that would be the 5% factor, so you can migrate that to the end of the period of the tariff review. So this would be positive for the company. And does this make sense? This is one of the conclusions that is possible, but it's not the only one. As I've told you, we are doing a deep dive in the results, trying to do all the inferences so we can have a final position. Thank you. If you allow me, one additional point for the people that are connected. When you have a relevant event, as you said, there is a quick reaction and everybody's trying to understand what happened. It's important for the investors that the company is available and is able to respond these questions or some formal position about this point. So we need to modify this so we know what's going on. Other companies in the electric sector are positioned. Therefore, if possible, when you leave a relevant event,
and you try to position yourself, I think would be good for the market. So we can be in contact with you so we can discuss. Otherwise, there is an asymmetry of information that is crucial for the analysis of the economy of the company. As we explained, we are in a moment of analysis of all the technical notes. The fact that the regulator is a regulator that is non-conventional, differently from the regulator of the other companies that you mentioned, the technical notes cannot be read in an isolated way. And the company will manifest itself only after the conclusion of the technical notes. Thank you. Very well. We remind the guests that if you have any questions, you can type asterisk nine in your screen. It seems that we have a question that was submitted via the webcast. So, Marcelo, I'm going to read the questions. What was the new regulatory market of Copasa? Can you renew the concessions that are currently operated? What are the restrictions? And could you give us detail on the privatization process of the company? Well, I will respond in regards to the regulatory. Well, I'm gonna answer on the other hand. Well, as the update of the presentation of the company, we talked about this throughout the call. This is not the agenda of our administration. And there is a decision on the controller. They have that agenda. Our agenda is to make this company as efficient as possible, regardless of the controller service. As you could verify, the approval of BNDES, we have a public, this is a public issue. As we've mentioned, the regulatory landmark, yes, you can renew it. We know the veto issue and this can be voted in November, Article 16. And in this article, we believe that there is a position of the government to promote efficiency, and the Article 16, which would be the renewal of the contracts of the program, we understand that the month of November, we have a definition in regards to this. And today we have the prediction of the variation of the vetoes in the month of November that can keep them or can forgive them. And we're awaiting the voting of the veto. We have another question from Carlos Eduardo Gomez. The company has a better view for paying their shareholders in regards to this issue. We have a policy of dividends. We have a movement of distribution of extraordinary measures that will get us closer to the leverage. And we are always trying to seek and respect the shareholders of the company. I have another question from Carlos Eduardo Figueiredo Gomez. What are the ESG practices of the company, and the company is aligned with a circular economy? Thank you.
Carlos Eduardo, Copasa has recently adhered to the Global Pact, and this was published. The company has, well, already adopted for some time the sustainable development of our activities, and we are here motivated to proceed the actions that are necessary for the adherence of the circular economy. Briefly, the market will have news about what Copasa is doing.
Well, we remind the guests that should you want to ask any questions, please type *9 in your telephone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we remind you that should you have any questions, please type *9 on your telephone. We have the team of Copasa here for us.
Very well. Another question from Marcelo Safra from Banco Itaú. Marcelo.
Hello. If you allow me another question in regards to this, well, we have the extraordinary measure of 820 million, but to submit your accounts, you will need to have more so you can frame this within the leverage, the frame that we have in the policy. Now, what you're considering is that next year you will invest 1.2 billion. We've seen over the last years that Copasa always announces a budget of CapEx, and they always recruit much less than what was budgeted. And thinking about what you invested over the last years, it seems like a big leap to execute the CapEx of 1.2 billion next year. How factual do you think that it will be to get the CapEx, and will you consider the 820 million next year?
Marcelo, answering your question. The prediction of CapEx took into consideration, well, next year, evidently, we are in the middle of the review of the budget, and even because of that overflow that I just commented with you when I was talking about the CapEx. So yes, the base was 1.25 billion. We can highlight here that it's important to remind you that not only we have the net debt over EBITDA, but also taking into consideration all the other quadrants which the company has in order to take into consideration the distribution of dividends. One of the things that next year we can do for the study of the CapEx of 1.250 billion is what is in regards to the discounts, given the competitiveness of the companies and the public bid. We will start next year with the premise of maybe a future discount that can be granted.
Thank you. Next question from the internet. In regards to the question of Marcelo Moraes, the investment plan. Hello, can you comment a little bit about the improvement of efficiency that is being evaluated by the current management, the current board of directors? Well, we know that since we got into the company, that this board of directors wants to bring more efficiency to the company, and this was seen since the beginning when we reduced the expenses, and we have the reduction in costs and still seeking more efficiency. We still have more efficiency in the commercial area, and this will bring important returns for the company. We've done an update that was very important, which is the update of our SAP S/4HANA. This was a very important step so we can see the volume that Copasa has with a good software. And I know that Cristiane has several commercial issues that she can detail to you. We're working for the incorporation of the market, and we have the technology for the improvement of the management. Our technology on the management, not only of the commercial chain, but also so we can charge better, and also updating functionalities that can make us more competitive. And besides the classic organizations for structure, organic, so we can have more agility, for example, in billing. We start to see these changes throughout the next fiscal year. Very well. We have another question from Felipe Rached from Goldman Sachs. Thank you for the call. I wanted to ask you a question in regards to PDD, and how do you see that issue up ahead? If you can tell us a little bit of an overview of how, well, when do you expect that things come back to the normal stage? Well, when we're talking about the default, the failure to pay, we are implementing several changes in the management of our billing chain. So all the economic sector, not only the water and sewage sector, was impacted by the pandemic, especially in the state of Minas Gerais, and especially in the metropolitan region of Belo Horizonte. Several economic sectors had their activities closed more than the rest of the country. And that situation of the productive value chain, of course, impacted the consumption of our clients, and it led to the failure to pay. Because of the regulatory agent, the company could not do cuts, stoppages in the service. We still have the impossibility of cuts in the service for the categorized users enrolled in the social category, and we are regaining the issuance of payment warnings for our clients. This is very recent for us to comment what would be the possible return. This depends on the economic return we can see that the enrollment of new clients goes back to the normal standard of usage, so we can be more effective with our value chain. Thank you for your answer. Dear guests, should you have any questions, please type asterisk nine on your telephone so we can open your line. Marcelo, we are receiving a series of questions, and we have Antonio Gasparin. Well, the company wants to open the shares and bonifications. Well, the issue of being listed, our intention is to increase the economy of the company, and we opted by the development, but there wouldn't be a change. This is an important moment, and we also had the issue of dividends, extraordinary dividends, so we can place them in the same package. Let's remind our guests that should you ask any questions, please type asterisk nine. Marcelo, I have another question. Ricardo Rodrigo Mora, well, he wants to understand the issuance of the dividends. The company has, well, we published a communication to the market that we would be distributing extraordinary dividends in this year. And when we had the issue of the pandemic, the company had a very conservative position here. And as you know, we are very privileged in our sector in regards to the other companies. The pandemic ended up not having that effect, I should say. And as we've announced way back when, that we would review this issue in the fourth quarter. And this is where we've done the study, respecting all the covenants and the financial results that we have, and facing the policies of dividends, we deliberated by the management council the payment up until this year. Another question from Alison Rodriguez. I would like to know about the 6.4, the value that is going to be paid by share, Well, that value of 648 is the current value per share. The next value to be the basis of 820 takes into consideration that value per share, Allison. There's a question of Marcelo Morales. Can we separate from CapEx to the maintenance that is predicted? We are in the process of reviewing of our five-year plan. We don't have that information separated. Well, another doubt, Felipe, I would like to know the reason why we have extraordinary dividends having the position of the expenses with CapEx since 2021. Well, Felipe, we have the policy of dividends that is very clear in regards to the optimal leverage that we had. We have, facing the pandemic, we were very conservative. And now it's the time of doing the adequation, well, adapting to the policy. Now, this distribution does not, well, this was asked before by another investor. If we had considered in the distribution of the dividends, the CapEx for 1.2 billion next year, yes, it is considered, and the company has the complete capacity of leveraging financial leverage to capture in the market. So there is no impact in that distribution of dividends that will affect the CapEx of 2021. Another question of Carlos Pineda Gomez, Compasa will increase the margins on the long term? Certainly. What we are doing now is effectively all of this process of management that will bring better margins in the long term. Another question from Felipe and another doubt. The distribution of the extraordinary dividends will be given as dividends or HCPs, and this is dividends. This is due to up until 19th. Very well. We close now the Q&A session.
That's right. We return the word to Carlos Berto for the final considerations. Dr. Carlos.
Thank you, Marcelo. Thank you once again, all of you, for your participation in our teleconference. We remain at your service for any clarification with our board of directors, with our RI area of Copasa. Here, I would like to invite you to participate in Copasa Day that will be in December, and the agenda will be submitted briefly. Oh, and that's why the audio conference of results for the third quarter of 2020 is closed. Thank you for your participation. Have a wonderful day. You can disconnect.